This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 898, Four Steps to Natural English Pronunciation with Rachel. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 50 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. Today, we have Rachel on the show, and she'll take you through her four-step system to build your natural English pronunciation skills independently. Today, we have a guest on the show. Our guest today is the founder of Rachel's English and has been teaching English as a foreign language online for 10 years. She studied with highly acclaimed vocal teachers and coaches and brings a detailed body of knowledge connected to the voice, placement, and the musical nature of speech to her work as a language teacher and a pronunciation coach. She's the owner of Rachel's English Academy, where she teaches more than 2,500 students online. Our guest today is Rachel Smith. So let's meet Rachel. This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Rachel, welcome to All Ears English. I'm excited to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent, excellent. I've seen your work online over the last couple of years. Some of our listeners have mentioned your work and they've asked to have you on the show. So you're here. So that's awesome.
Yay.
Glad to have you to introduce you to the All Ears English audience. So Rachel, you told me that you are an opera singer. Is that right? And you used to be based in New York City?
That's right.
Okay, interesting. So I love talking to opera singers about pronunciation because I feel like you guys have some of the keys that English teachers might not necessarily have. So what is one thing about pronunciation and articulating with voice that our listeners can get kind of a secret about that from an opera singer? What would you say, Rachel?
I think opera singers are really good imitators. And I think that imitation is one of the keys to learning how to sound more American.
Yeah, imitation. Okay. And as an opera singer, is that how you kind of learned your lines or the songs you were going to do, by imitating sounds?
It wasn't so much that as when I was working with a teacher who wanted me to change something, she might make a sound the way I was doing it and then show me in a different way with her voice what I could try. And so then it was not so much about a sound like a vowel, but a sound like what your body is creating, and sort of playing with that and experimenting with that a lot, and definitely using imitation to see, you know, where can you go with your voice?
Okay. So it sounds like it's less of a technical exercise, more of a bodily exercise, just kind of imitating and feeling the other person's voice and trying to mimic that. Is that right?
Yes. And so often I try to get my students to work on something that's not so intellectual and is more body related.
Yes. I love that. I feel like that's a key, right? I love that point. And I really want our listeners to hear this because I think a lot of our listeners might get stuck in their heads, but that's not where real pronunciation happens, right? It happens in our voice box, in our body, from our chest.
Yeah. And when you're singing, so much of what your teacher is telling you deals with the imagination. Like, I've definitely had a teacher say, you know, pretend there's a tree trunk growing up your body. And this is like a way to try to have you connect to your breath in a different way. But we're dealing with the diaphragm and something that moves involuntarily. So yeah, she was often using imagery and the imagination to bring changes into the body.
I love that idea. I love that. So that's going to set the tone really nicely for our conversation today, guys. Pronunciation is not always something, it's not a mathematical equation. It's not something we can memorize in a textbook. It's something we have to experience. I love that, Rachel. So then in line with that idea, Rachel, a lot of our listeners are listening to the podcast, but they listen from home, maybe on the way to work, and they need to know how to learn independently. They can't always go straight to a teacher. So I thought maybe you had some hints for us today on how we can do that. Maybe three or four hints on how to improve our pronunciation on our own.
Definitely. And this is something that I've learned by watching my students on their journeys and realizing that things were happening that didn't involve me.
Awesome. Let's go into it. So what would be your first tip then?
Well, the tip one is I really do believe that adults do need a little bit of an intellectual foundation for some of the finer points of pronunciation.
Okay.
Children don't. Children can just imitate so accurately, but adults have some stronger habits, and then they also have a little bit more fear associated with doing something that feels different or sounding silly or stupid. So adults have a couple things to fight. So I do think that one of the steps that's necessary is to understand intellectually what should my mouth be doing to make this sound, or that knowing that English is a stress-timed language, whereas other languages, every syllable is the same length. So understanding intellectually some of the things that make up American English.
Okay, I love that idea, right? Because, you know, for kids, it's a different ball game. They haven't learned this adult way of thinking yet. So they are able to just kind of be immersed in sounds and imitate them. But, you know, in contrast to what we said earlier, this is kind of the other side of it.
Right.
As adults, we've learned a certain way of thinking through our learning, right? A way of using our mind when we learn something. So we do need to add that. So what percentage then is there a way to break it down? Like, what percentage for adults is imitating, feeling a sound, being around a sound versus intellectualizing it and understanding? Yeah.
Well, time-wise, I would say it doesn't actually take very much time to understand something intellectually. I have a video on each of the sounds and they're all maybe around 5 minutes. So someone can watch that once and understand intellectually what's happening. But then in order to make that habit and to get that into their own body, that can take like weeks of dedicated practice. So time-wise, I would say the amount of time you're spending experimenting with your body rather than learning something intellectual is much greater.
Interesting. I think we might touch on this a little bit further along, but if not, I just want to ask, is there some point where the intellectual side starts to be a handicap? Like, at what point does the intellectual side start to hold us back from really assuming that sound?
Yeah, I think it holds people back when they can't let go of it. Like, for example, as a singer, I would spend hours, you know, at the piano, learning my melody, feeling the harmonies, doing all this. But when you get to the stage, you have to go with something more of a feeling than like visualizing the sheet music. So for me, the problem with some students is they are so intellectual and they're so mind oriented that they never let themselves let that go and know that, you know, okay, that has sunk in, that's in my brain and that's good. But now I need to utilize this other way of learning, which is my body learning. So I think that it gets in the way, almost with certain personalities, certain approaches to learning that are less playful and less experimental.
Interesting. I love that. That's really in line with our vision here, which is connection, not perfection. You know, at some point we've prepared and we've gotten ready. We've learned every grammar point in the book, but at some point we just have to let go and move forward into that conversation. I think that applies for pronunciation too. I love it. I love it. Okay. Awesome. So Rachel, what would be your second tip then?
Okay. So my second tip is once you've learned some of these fine points of pronunciation, for example, that Americans will take the word F-O-R and pronounce it for really quickly, almost no vowel in conversation. Once you know these things, spend some time studying Americans, looking for them just to solidify it in the head. I think that TED Talks is a great way to do this because they have those transcripts that you can jump around in, interactive transcripts. Ooh. So you can be watching a lecture on anything. So you can always pick a topic that interests you.
Okay.
And as the speaker is speaking, you can read along. And when you notice, oh, wow, they just did that reduction of four. Mm. You can sort of click on that line so that you hear that clip of video several times in a row to sort of solidify it. So I think once you learn these points, then it's cool to go see them in action to sort of add even more context to your intellectual understanding. It's sort of like a bridge between your intellectual understanding and then just like the body work that you're going to do with it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So this is really more of a step-by-step framework. I like it because first we have to know what to look for and then we have to go out and look for it, right? That's kind of how I see it. Yeah.
Right.
I
know what
it.
To look for, then go notice it, go look for it. And then once you've done that, then you've really set yourself up well to be able to imitate it well, because I've had lots of students that are bad imitators because they haven't learned the intellectual part. But when they realize, oh, we do reduce the word for, then when they hear a native speaker, they can do it perfectly. Whereas before, they hadn't learned it. And even though they were trying to imitate, they weren't imitating because they were working more on what they thought they knew rather than what they were hearing.
Oh, okay.
We have to work at it from all angles.
When it comes to improving your fluency, there is a gap. It's a gap between what you have learned in your textbook and where you need to be in order to start having vibrant conversations with native speakers. Our connection method bridges that gap. Plus, you get to take a 12,000-mile journey around the U.S. by video lesson. Get our special offer on our online course this week only at allearsenglish.com/plan and save up to 20% when you join before midnight on May 5th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so step three would be, okay, now it's time to train.
Okay. Okay.
And
yes.
So you've learned the point, and now let's say it was a sound. You know that you have a very hard time with the American R.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to doing a totally different sound. So you know how to make it. You've then watched some videos where you're seeing Americans saying words with these sounds, and maybe you're playing the loop of a sentence with a lot of R sounds in it.
Yep.
Now you've got to train your own fine motor skills. You've gotten a little bit in your ear from doing your TED Talks work. So there are a couple different things you can do. I actually, on my podcast, I interviewed a man who had suffered a stroke, and he was American, and he had to relearn speaking English. And he actually gave me some great insight into things to tell my students to do when they were learning. And there was something that they had him do where they said a word and then he would repeat it and then they would say it and he would repeat it four times in a row. And he was never supposed to try to stop and correct, but just wait until he heard it again and then say it again. And something about this in the brain helped him fine tune his motor skills, you know, the fine motor skills in the mouth in order to be a more accurate imitator. So I like to tell my students, you have to train too. You have to train like you're an athlete or a musician. I mean, how many free throws does a basketball player do? Just that one thing isolated over and over. Or a pianist would take a really hard transition and practice it hundreds of times before a performance. So it's this way too. If you're training the R, then collect R words that you know that are hard for you. And I suggest to my students, they can go to Forvo.com or Youglish.com. Youglish, these are both free. And there are websites where you can go plug in a word and hear Americans saying them.
Ooh, cool. I love that.
And so you do that. You play it. You hear an American and you say it. You say it out loud. You play it and you say it. And I have an online school where I have built soundboards with like hundreds of words with the R sound. And I tell my students, you play it, you say it, you play it, you say it. And I've watched students do it in live classes with them just to sort of tweak how they're practicing. And it's amazing how after five or six repetitions of it, they're starting to make these subtle differences, and I'm not having to tell them anything.
Yeah, that's the piece right there. So this is something that we're doing on our own. Our listeners can do on their own entirely. Do you think that works better than having a teacher say, no, it's like this? Instead, the student is just on their own tuning their voice to what they're hearing.
That's a really good question. I don't know if I would say it was better, but it's at least as good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe in some ways it is better because you're not relying on feedback from an outside source, which is a little intellectual, right? You're making it wholly a body ear experience. You're like my students would say at the end, I would say, okay, that got perfect. That sounded native. What did you change? And they can't tell you because they can't intellectually describe it, but they brought it into their body and that's where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So this sort of repetitious training, it just blows my mind how people can transform their voices when they do this.
Oh, how cool. I love it. And I think the other piece of this is that, you know, when we're doing this on our own without a teacher right next to us saying, no, it's this. Instead, we're on our own. We're also teaching ourselves how to hear the sound, right? That's such a key to being able to repeat it, is to hear it, to understand how close are we. Now, that time we weren't as close. That time we were closer. We can hear the sound better and hear ourselves saying it better. I love that.
Definitely. Yeah. And that actually brings me to my tip four.
Okay.
Which is record yourself.
Yes.
I found that students can actually be a great teacher because they've done this intellectual learning. They've done this studying of native speakers, but it takes time to break your habits. However, if you listen to yourself, because you've done all that other work, you can often identify what's not right. And so I found that when students record themselves, I'll tell my students who are living in the US who have ample opportunity to speak English, you know, in conversation with native speakers, I will tell them on your phone, subtly, if you can, record a little bit of conversation that you're having with somebody. And then at the end of the day, go back and listen to it. And you can look for a couple things. Was there a word I was searching for that I couldn't find? Mm-hmm. Did I stumble on something grammatically? But then you can also say, man, my R is still sounding like a flap instead of that American R. And then you take those very words that you used with the R in that conversation and you take those to Forvo and you use those play it, say it to drill them back into your body. Because this is a great way to be drilling the words that you know you're actually using on a daily basis because they came out of a conversation that you had naturally. So people can really be a great self-coach and from that can say, all right, I said it wrong once in that conversation. And then I brought it home that night and I practiced it and I said it right 30 times. Mm-hmm. You know, and you do that often enough. And if you can record yourself a little bit every day and look at it like that, I mean, it's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
What you can do.
Oh, wow. I love that. I see this framework as a ladder, you know, that I want to encourage our listeners, guys, try this out, you know, start at the bottom, start with intellectualizing the sound. What does it look like? What, you know, how does it sound? How is it formed in our mouths? And move up to seeing it, identifying it in a TED talk, for example, and then try imitating it and then take that final step, record yourself. And then we go back down the ladder if we need to for specific sounds, then we climb our way back up. I love it. And I think, Rachel, the underlying key here that we've mentioned is practice, right? Because was it Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hour theory? I'm not sure who came up with that, but that is so key, right? And to become an expert in something, we need 10,000 hours of practice, right? I think we hear our students say a lot, like, why don't I sound like a native speaker yet? Well, how many hours are you practicing? Like, how many minutes are you spending every day practicing? It's probably not enough, right?
So,
you know, yeah, I love that.
And I think of my son, who's over two now, he's been speaking for a little over a year from when he was first saying words. Yep. He's been hearing only native English for 2 years, yet he still says almost nothing, really, and is often hard to understand.
Right.
And that is after, you know, a year of solid only practice of speaking English. And so, you know, if you're coming as an adult and you're trying to do this for like 10 minutes a day, it's going to take you a really long time to get it really solid.
Yeah.
But having said that, with consistent work every day, you can really change your accent. It doesn't have to be a massive commitment all the time. I tell my students, I've had students who, when I was seeing them weekly, 1 week, they would not be able to hear the difference between two vowel sounds. Mm-hmm. And I would give them some minimal pair listening practice and they would come back to me the next week and they would not only be able to hear the difference, but because they had to learn it themselves from identifying it orally, they are now pronouncing it natively. And I said, you did that in 1 week. How much time did you spend on this? And mostly it was like, oh, 20 minutes every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's every day.
Yes. Yeah. That's the key. And I mean, if we're doing it with the right foundation, you know, using this kind of ladder format, guys, stepping up in the right direction, doing the right things in the right order. Yeah. Just 20 minutes a day. I mean, that could definitely make a difference. So guys, we want to make sure that you're focusing on your pronunciation in the right way and don't get discouraged. Keep going for it. I love these tips, Rachel. Thank you so much for offering these. And if our listeners would like to know what you're up to online, maybe they want to check out those soundboard videos that you created, where can they go to check out your work?
Yeah, well, I do have a podcast. I'm not creating new episodes right now, but there are 25 fantastic podcasts up. You can find that at rachelsenglish.com/podcast. You can find me at youtube.com/rachelsenglish. And then the training aspect where I take not just intellectual, but we turn you into a musician athlete working the language. That happens in my online school, which is rachelsenglishacademy.com. I would love to see you guys anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, awesome. Excellent. Guys, go on over and check out what Rachel has to offer. We don't focus too much on pronunciation over here, so I love it when we can have a pronunciation expert like you, Rachel, on the show. So thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
Awesome. All right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to All Ears English. And if you need a 7 or higher on your IELTS exam to achieve your life vision, then our insider method can get you there. Start with our free video series masterclass. Get video 1 now at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then subscribe to our show on your phone or on your computer. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.